Yes, sir, we promised you a great main event tonight.
Andre the Giant.
WrestleMania.
Hulkamania is running west.
My God, what a
Hello everyone and welcome to another edition of Classic Wrestling Pay-Per-Views. Yes, I'm finally bringing it back. First time since 2020. Last one I did, I believe, was Survivor Series 1997. And I had a lot of fun recapping that one, reliving my childhood from that time period. But this one, it's WrestleMania time. And this is a very special one. One that has a lot of significance to my life as a wrestling fan. And today's the 20th anniversary of the event. I am of course talking about WrestleMania 20, where it all begins again, March 14th, 2004, the first almost 5 hour WrestleMania live broadcast, at least from that I can remember watching live, because I think some of the early WrestleManias had gone a little bit, you know, way back, like WrestleMania 4 and 5 and so on, but this is the first WrestleMania that I can remember being that long. And you know, a lot of people like to say WrestleMania 17 is the greatest WrestleMania of all time. It's their favorite WrestleMania of all time, and rightfully so. It is a phenomenal WrestleMania. It is my number two, but WrestleMania 20 is my number one for a lot of reasons, for a lot of the match quality, but more so the storytelling leading up to the pay-per-view and then happening on the pay-per-view itself. And a lot of matches that I believe stand the test of time and just so less such a significant impact on the WWE and professional wrestling. I mean, one of the matches on this card is featured in the WrestleMania Showcase in WWE 2K24. I have it in the background, as y'all can see on YouTube or on Spotify if you're watching the video version on Spotify. And also you can see I have my WrestleMania 20 t-shirt, and I also got my WrestleMania 20 watch. Does not work anymore, but I love wearing it anyway for this video, because I figured why not? I have to, you know, gotta complete the ensemble for the presentation of the podcast and all that fun good stuff. But yes, it's and I'll talk a little bit more about it on the podcast that's gonna be up this weekend, for the Men at Tights podcast, my interview with Joe Harris, where I spoke a lot about and being invested in the storytelling aspect of professional wrestling now that I'm much older, because when I was a kid, being invested in some of the more colorful characters. But as I've gotten older, I've learned to appreciate the art form of within the storytelling and the athleticism of professional wrestling. And I feel like WrestleMania 20 is a great example of that. Great storytelling, long-term storytelling, with ones like story with Goldberg and Lesnar stemming back from their first interaction at Survivor Series 2003, and the build-up towards Kane and Undertaker, which, I mean, their storyline had gone since 1997, when Kane debuted officially, and then this particular chapter of the story began at Survivor Series 2003 as well, when Kane helped Vince McMahon bury The Undertaker alive, and Kane so proud that he ended The Undertaker for good. And then we had the story moment at the Royal Rumble, where countdown 3-2-1, Kane is dominating in the ring, and then we get the bell for The Undertaker, and fans went nuts. I went nuts watching it at home, and just it was so awesome. Just the hype and the excitement I felt for WrestleMania 20, and I've said it to other people before, and I even said it in my conversation with Joe, that what I'm feeling right now for WrestleMania 40 is exactly how I felt for WrestleMania 20. And that's what has me so excited for WrestleMania 40. And when it comes time for my predictions for that, I will share even more of my excitement for it, especially with some of the matches that we've had now have more confirmed. We have six-pack challenge ladder match for the tag team titles. We have Gunther and Sammy for the Intercontinental title. And just, it's exciting again. It's an exciting time to be a wrestling fan, but more of that another time. Right now we are focused on WrestleMania 20, again, where it all begins again. And it was a stacked card from start to finish. Were all the matches, you know, five-star classics? No, but they all served their stories, told their stories that they needed to tell. We had it kicked off with John Cena's WrestleMania debut match for the United States Championship against Big Show. Pretty good match. Not the most spectacular match of John Cena's career. He would go on to have many more, much better, phenomenal matches in his career, especially at WrestleMania. But this was a very good one, especially a good way to kick off WrestleMania 20. Fans were hot for Dr. Thugonomics John Cena at the time. And Big Show, he was Big Show. You know, he was what he was. But you know, fans were solidly behind Cena from start to finish. Cena got the victory with the brass knuckles and then the FU before it became the AA. And their story, also another one that kind of, again, little seeds planted here and there, starting from 2003, with I think one of the bigger moments happening at the Survivor Series during the opening Survivor Series 5-on-5 tag team match, when he did the FU to Big Show, and they had their moments in between. They had the Royal Rumble, and then they had the Triple Threat match at No Way Out with Kurt Angle, where Kurt Angle won his number one contendership to fight Eddie for the WWE title. And yeah, this kind of similar to how they kind of built it up to Lesnar and Big Show at Survivor Series 2002. You know, can he defeat the powerful giant and blah blah blah? And of course he did. You know, not under the purest of circumstances, even though he was the babyface. He was the doctor of Thugonomics, you know, word life, basic Thugonomics. And he got him with the 1-2-3, winning his first championship in his WWE career, the first of many championships. And I believe this was the first of five United States championships, because he won it here. And then he won it in the Best of Five series against Booker T. Won it back from Carlito later that same year. Then he won it from Rusev, so he had 31. Then won it back from Seth Rollins later on in the year at Night of Champions. So yeah, five times United States champion. And it was a great United States champion in 2015 especially. And then from that we moved on to the World Tag Team Championships from Monday Night Raw. Fatal 4-Way, Booker T and RVD defending against Garrison Cade and Mark Jindrak, Dudley Boys, and La Resistance, which was Rene Dupree and Rob Conway, who future NWA World Heavyweight Champion, by the way, if anyone who is not familiar with Rob Conway post-WWE. And this one was another good, fun, fast-paced, hard-hitting match. A lot of good, cool spots in between. And it was a great way to showcase some of the tag team talent that we had on Monday Night Raw at the time, with, of course, RVD and Booker T coming out on top, successfully defending their tag team titles at WrestleMania. And I feel like Booker T and RVD is a very underrated tag team, especially during the Ruthless Aggression era, and a very underappreciated tag team, very underrated. And I really like the remix of the entrance music of the Booker T's theme that he did for the Originals album, mixed in with little sounds from RVD's theme. Thought was done very, very well, and I wish they had done an official release of that remix theme. Anyways, then we moved on to another very heavily story-driven match, Christian versus Chris Jericho. This one stemming from the storyline from several months earlier of Jericho trying to pursue Trish Stratus, and starting off as a bet, can he get Trish and blah, blah, blah. And then eventually along the way, you know, he developed real feelings for Trish, and then Christian getting in the middle of that and causing the rift and the split between him and Jericho, which was, it's just funny how Christian is always, he's always the one that's betraying everybody in these storylines. He betrayed Edge, betrayed Jericho, betrayed so many people in his career, turning heel on everybody and everyone, and WWE, TNA, AEW now as well. But it works. Christian is a great heel, and I've always been a fan of him, and I hope babyface or heel, but I think he does much, much better as a heel. His best work has been as a heel, in my opinion. I would say probably the opinion of a lot of wrestling fans. But this one was a very, very good match. A solid 15-minute match between two of the best to ever do it in not just WWE, but professional wrestling as a whole. And both of them showcasing their talents as best as they can, with the story of Trish coming down, seemingly like she's going to help Jericho, but then turns out she's turning heel on Jericho as well and joining up with Christian. And then their story takes another turn right there, with them getting together and they have some more matches and stuff along the way at the following Raw pay-per-views that would happen after that. And then we come on to another very, very great story of Rock and Sock Connection versus Evolution, stemming from the segment with Randy Orton and Mick Foley from several months before, where Foley was supposed to fight Randy Orton on Monday Night Raw, and Foley, not feeling sure of himself, backed out of the match, and then Orton spat in his face very famously, and Foley just disappeared for a little while until he came back at the Royal Rumble, which was another awesome moment, and they had their brawl, eliminating each other in the Rumble match, and just week after week, Evolution just getting the best of Foley every chance that they got, until Foley called in a favor to his friend The Rock coming in to save the day. And I love the story of how Foley always says that The Rock had said that he wouldn't come back unless it was a big deal and the story meant something to him, and the fact that he actually came back for this particular match meant a lot to Mick Foley, which is just really cool, and kind of really does say a lot about the character of Dwayne Johnson, the human being, and not just the character of The Rock. But this was a fun story, and then of course it would also lead to the hardcore match at Backlash the following month for Randy Orton and Mick Foley, which was phenomenal, one of the best matches in Mick Foley's career for sure, one that Foley is very proud of. I know Randy Orton is very proud of, that was his coming out party, as they would say. But yes, this was a 3-on-2 handicap match that reunited Rock and Sock Connection taking on Evolution, which was Randy Orton, Batista, and Ric Flair. This was a fun match. I know Foley has his feelings where he did not give the best performance that he felt fans deserved for WrestleMania especially, but I feel like it was a very, very good match. Told a very good story of, yeah, showing that can Foley still go? Does he still have it in him? And I feel like it did a very, very good job of that. And I hope the audio on my mic is going well, because even in my headset, I can hear it going kind of going up and down. Hope you guys can hear me clearly and loud, and not too loud. But anyways, back to it. It was a lot of fun spots, especially between The Rock and Ric Flair, with Flair doing his own little mocking version of the People's Elbow, and then Rock mocking the Ric Flair strut, and Foley just being Foley and taking all the hard bumps that he is so readily and proudly to take. And just, you know, I mean, it's nothing like the bumps that he had years prior, you know, the deathmatch tournaments, ECW, and Hell in a Cell with Undertaker and all that. But just, you know, even something simple as just being thrown into the ring steps, how this man is still walking to this very day, I do not know how. He is a medical marvel in that sense, seriously. But this was another very, very good match, and telling a great story in the chapter of Foley versus Orton that led up to the phenomenal match at Backlash. And maybe I'll do that one on a Classic Wrestling pay-per-views pretty soon. I don't know, we'll see how I feel, because I want to get back into the groove of doing these. I had so much fun doing them so many years ago with the WCW shows that I covered, the WWF Attitude Era Ruthless Aggression shows that I covered. But I tried to get in some of the TNA pay-per-views as well, I don't have Impact Plus or TNA Wrestling Plus, whatever it's called right now, but I know that they've been uploading a lot of their old pay-per-views on their YouTube channel for quite a while, so I'm going to look at some of those. And maybe I'll even do one of them as a watch-along recording, or maybe do one live if anyone would be inclined to check that out. But either way, I'm going to try to get into some of the TNA pay-per-views, because there were a lot of great ones that I remembered watching way, way back when they first happened. But anyways, getting sidetracked. But yeah, we followed up the Evolution and Rock and Sock handicap match with Playboy evening gown match with Miss Jackie Gata, teaming with Stacy Keibler to take on Tori Wilson and Sable. And yeah, at the time, you know, my teenage self enjoyed this, but now, much, much older, more mature, and a much better love and appreciation of women's wrestling, this match just probably the only match that I actually skip whenever I watch it now, is... Yeah, anyways, yeah, Story and Sable won that one. Oh yeah, and Evolution won the handicap match as well, but yeah. Then we follow this one up with the Cruiserweight Open for the Cruiserweight Championship with Chavo Guerrero defending against Akio, who was also Jimmy Wayne Yang, and Billy Kidman, Funaki, Jamie Noble, Nunzio, Rey Mysterio, Shannon Moore, Tajiri, and Ultimo Dragon. This was a very fun match that showcased the talents of the Cruiserweight division that I've always felt never got the right respect in WWE. Because yes, the Cruiserweight division was such a staple of WCW and would regularly have the best matches on the cards, whether it's on Nitro or Thunder or WCW Saturday Night or on some of the pay-per-views. But when they came over to WWE with the Cruiserweight division, yes, they were still having a lot of great matches, but they were not showcased in the same way that they were in WCW. And they weren't talked about in the same respect as they were in WCW. But that's not to say that they didn't have phenomenal Cruiserweight talent and Cruiserweight matches. And this was one of those very good matches. I mean, a lot of people remember most Ultimo Dragon slipping on the entrance stage when he was coming out. Which is, yeah, and that's been featured on so many Botchamania WrestleBotch videos over the years. But this one was fun. I enjoyed it very, very much. And I loved, you know, where we kind of, this is in the tradition with Rey showcasing these different superhero themed attires for WrestleMania. He came out as Daredevil for WrestleMania 19, and here he came out as The Flash, and he would go on to have many more superhero themed inspired attires. But this one was a very fun one, and Chavo, I believe he came in last at the end during this match, because it was kind of like more of like a gauntlet setup, you know, one and one. But this was a fun match, and this is another one that was continuing the long-term storytelling of Rey and Chavo that would span decades, pretty much, you know, from WCW to WWE 90s to this. It was several year feud between the two, and this one was just in the latest chapter in that story, and Chavo would retain. And then we followed this up with the very highly anticipated and unfortunately very disappointing Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar with Stone Cold Steve Austin as a special guest referee. This one was, fans had were so hyped for it going into this with all the different moments from Survivor Series, then their interaction again at the Royal Rumble where Lesnar would cost Goldberg the Rumble match, and then Goldberg would return the favor by costing him Lesnar the WWE title at No Way Out against Eddie Guerrero. And we were so hyped for this match, and then when it came closer to WrestleMania, there was the stories of Goldberg leaving WWE after this, and then Lesnar was going to be leaving to go to the NFL, and fans in the attendance at the Garden were letting their feelings be known very, very clearly that they wanted both men to get the fuck out of there and out of WWE. And yeah, fans just shit on this match so much. And it's unfortunate because if you take out all the dead space during the match, it's actually a pretty good match. But it's just, fans make a big difference. They really do. And that's why I always, whenever I talk about like Rock versus Hogan at WrestleMania 18, if you take away the fan excitement, it's just an okay match. And you can kind of say the same thing here. Fans were not happy, were not cheering for either man during the match, but they were very, very vocal and they were letting their voices be heard and how they felt about both men at that time. And Goldberg would win, obviously. But yeah, just the highlight of the whole thing was Austin stunning Lesnar and then stunning Goldberg, because that's really what the fans wanted. We wanted to see Austin kick both of their asses. But yeah, it was what it was. Then we followed this up with another Fatal 4-Way, this time from SmackDown for the WWE Tag Team Championship. Too Cool, Rikishi and Scotty 2 Hardy defending against Shelton Benjamin and Charlie Haas, and Doug and Danny Basham, and the APA. This one, not as good and exciting as the World Tag Title match from earlier in the show, but it was still a very fun and entertaining match, with Too Cool retaining and giving us the fun little Too Cool dance that we all know and love. And I remember then after this they had the prompt vignette for Edge's return that I was hyping up. It was pretty cool. And also earlier in the night they had the Hall of Fame segment featuring Harley Race, Billy Graham, Sergeant Slaughter, and so on. And then we followed up the tag team title match with the women's championship, Hair versus Title, champion Victoria defending against Molly Holly. And this was during, you know, the time period where the women were not getting as, were not as as respected as they are now, not getting the TV time that they do, that they get now. This was a 5-minute match, but still it was a pretty decent match for what it was. I mean, because I'm a fan of both women very, very much, especially Molly Holly. She's always been one of my absolute favorites. And, you know, it's just because Molly Holly, she would, of course, lose and had her head shaved, but just, like, her hair was just, she had it done up, the most beautiful that her hair had ever looked at that point. And because I remember, yeah, she volunteered to have it, have to be the one to lose and have her head shaved so that she can donate it to Locks, I believe, Locks of Love. Which is just, again, speaks to the human being that of who she is. And, you know, I'm happy that she's part of WWE now as one of the trainers and producers. And a lot of the women in WWE could learn a lot from her and her experience and her expertise on wrestling and women's wrestling and storytelling. And because I've always felt like Molly Holly was a very underappreciated talent during the Ruthless Aggression era, especially like a fans that, like, you know, as they say, as a lot of people like say, not getting that they deserve their flowers or whatever the term is, whatever the phrasing is. And I feel like this could have been the kind of match that could have really showcased how talented Molly and Victoria really are and were. And unfortunately, we wouldn't get to see those kind of the kind of matches until many, many years later. So it's like, you know, if the women, the way women's wrestling in WWE is now, was, if this is how it was back then, who knows how much greater the women's division could have been during that Ruthless Aggression era, especially. But anyways, yeah, Victoria retained and Molly got her head shaved. And then we followed this up with Kurt Angle versus Eddie Guerrero for the WWE Championship, which, like I said, was featured in the 2K Showcase of the Immortals on WWE 2K24. This one is a phenomenal match. One of the best WWE Championship matches in WrestleMania history, in my opinion, at least. And this is one that kind of woke the fans up after, you know, kind of being dead after the Goldberg-Lesnar match. And it's like, of course, I mean, you got two of the very best in professional wrestling history going at it for the WWE Championship. Solid 20-plus minute match. According to Wikipedia, it was 21 minutes exactly. And this is the kind of match that the time really does fly by, and it doesn't feel as long as it actually was. And that's usually a pretty good thing, in my opinion, at least. And yeah, both of them having just phenomenal chemistry from different matches that they had previously, whether it was the tag matches during the SmackDown 6 era in 2002, and some of the other matches that they've had on SmackDown along the way, and moments here and there on different pay-per-views. But their one-on-one matches, especially here, which is always so, from start to finish, top-notch, absolute perfection, and which is not surprising because both were perfectionists in the ring. Especially Eddie was such a perfectionist, and in a lot of ways that was to his detriment, that he would strive too much for perfection, and then he would just be so hard on himself. And that, you know, that's from so many people that knew him along the way, like Bruce Pritchard, JBL, even in his own biography, he speaks a lot about how hard he was on himself. And it's unfortunate because he was such a phenomenal wrestler, such a phenomenal performer, a lot of times giving the best performances on every show that he was on, and him being so hard on himself and thinking that he could have done much better, it's so heartbreaking to hear. It really is. And the same with Kurt Angle. He was another one that would always beat himself up mentally, emotionally, and physically. But this night at WrestleMania 20, they just clicked on every possible level. Great storytelling during the match of Kurt working on Eddie's ankle throughout, and then Eddie getting the best of him when he slipped out of his boot when Kurt was trying to lock on the ankle lock again, getting him for the inside cradle for the 1-2-3. And of course that means that their story was not going to finish here. They would have many more matches and moments along the way during 2004. But yeah, Eddie retained in a phenomenal match, and then one of the most anticipated matches on this one, which turned out to only be just a decent match. It was the return of the Dead Man Undertaker taking on Kane, which again, like I said, their storyline starting back in 1997, but this latest chapter beginning at Survivor Series 2003, and we got to see the return of Paul Bearer, which was really, really cool, and getting to have, you know, one last good run in the WWE with getting to work alongside Kane and with Undertaker. And because I remember hearing, like, anyway, his wife had just passed recently, and WWE wanted to help reach out to him, wanted to help him out, get him some weight loss surgery, I believe is what it was. And yeah, it was just the hype of getting to see the Dead Man Undertaker again for the first time in 4 years, was just so, so cool. And the entrance, so hype. I remember just getting goosebumps for it when it happened. Would have been much, much better if I was actually at the show. It is what it is. But it was a fun match. Again, not the most spectacular. I mean, their match at WrestleMania 14 was much better, in my opinion. I would say that one is still their best match, I believe. I mean, subjectively, I mean, other people might say their Inferno match is their best match. I don't know. I haven't seen that one in a long time. I remember loving it at the time, but as an adult now, I say that WrestleMania 14 was their best match. But then we come to the main event. One of the greatest matches in WrestleMania history. Definitely one of the best main events in WrestleMania history. I would say probably the best triple threat main event in WrestleMania history. Triple H defending the World Heavyweight Championship against Shawn Michaels and Royal Rumble winner Chris Benoit. And this one, again, talking about the great storytelling, this was one of the best examples of storytelling that both men had legitimate claims for Triple H. Because Shawn had his last man standing match at the Rumble with Triple H, where nobody was the definitive winner, so they had unfinished business. Chris Benoit winning the Royal Rumble match, choosing to go for the World Heavyweight Championship. And it's like, both men have their claims for Triple H and the world title. What are you going to do? You know, we have the contract signing. Shawn Michaels signs his name on the contract after doing Sweet Chin Music to Chris Benoit. So the Sheriff Austin at the time made the decision. It's going to be a triple threat match for the World Heavyweight Championship. And because I remember Triple H even said, you know, that I'm not going to do like WrestleMania 10 where I'm defending my championship twice in one night. Which it's cool that they actually acknowledged that, because I was thinking that they were probably going to go that route at that time. And was happy that I was proven wrong, that it was not going to go that way. And because it delivered one of the greatest matches, not just in WrestleMania history, but in WWE history, professional wrestling history. Because again, the storytelling of Shawn and Triple H, Shawn and Benoit, Benoit Triple H, was just absolute perfection. And one of the matches that I can say that I was truly emotionally invested in, much like how I am this year with Cody and Roman. And which again, like I said, like the hype that I felt for WrestleMania 20 is how I'm feeling for WrestleMania 40. And just, is WrestleMania 40 going to give me that same, you know, happy ending that I got for WrestleMania 20? We shall see. And this one was just, again, a great match. His both men, Triple H and Shawn, doing their best to make sure that Benoit just was not going to be the guy to get it. You know, Shawn so determined to take down Triple H once and for all. Benoit trying to fulfill his destiny of winning the world championship. Triple H trying to hold on to his crown for a little bit longer. And all of them just beat the hell out of each other. Shawn was bloody. Triple H was bloody. Benoit might have been a little bit bloody. I don't know. It's been a little bit since I've seen the pay-per-view. But I have seen this one so many, many times that I didn't have to watch it again before recording this, to just to give you guys my opinion on a lot of the stuff. Because this is one of those pay-per-views that I can watch it from start to finish and not get bored. Even with, like I said, the Playboy match that is just... that I can do sometimes skip it. But because of how short it is, I just let it play, honestly. Like, I'll go make a sandwich or whatever. But just such an amazing, amazing show. An amazing match. The emotional payoff of Benoit getting the Crippler Crossface on Triple H. Having Triple H tap out. The first tap out victory in the main event of WrestleMania. And having it be... with Triple H, who, again, this was during the quote-unquote Reign of Terror, that fans dubbed, as fans dubbed it during, from the Ruthless Aggression era, that he was finally taken down once and for all, and Benoit had the emotional victory and the emotional ending with him and Eddie hugging, holding their championships held high. Such an amazing moment, such a beloved moment for wrestling fans that unfortunately is not going to be replayed on WWE television ever again. And but fans, we look back on that and just, it hurts watching it now, knowing that both men are gone, especially under the circumstances of Benoit being gone now. It's just, it's hard to watch it for so many reasons, but it's just, it's still such a beautiful moment because these are two men who, quote unquote, weren't supposed to be where they were in the, at the time. You know, they weren't the prototype WWE superstar, world champion superstar for WWE, because they were the small guys, quote unquote, but they persevered, showed that they had the talent, that they had the skill, and that they had the passion, and the fans were behind them solidly 100%, and they proved everyone wrong, and they were both on top of the world as world heavyweight champion and WWE champion, and just, you know, one of the greatest endings to a WrestleMania. And are we gonna get that again this year for WrestleMania 40? We got that in WrestleMania 30 when Daniel Bryan, under very similar circumstances, won the world title in a triple threat match. And we got Cody trying to finish his story, going into WrestleMania 40 against Roman. And it's funny because it's like every 10th WrestleMania, somewhere in the main event is somebody trying, in one form or another, trying to finish a story. WrestleMania 10, it was Bret finishing his story with Yoko, having lost it under controversial circumstances at WrestleMania 9. Now WrestleMania 20, it's Benoit finishing his story of never winning the big one, quote unquote, even though he was a WCW champion, but they don't like to acknowledge that. And then WrestleMania 30, Daniel Bryan finishing his story of the Authority trying to hold him back from being world champion. And then now we got Cody finishing his story of the championship that his father never won. And we'll see how that goes. But yeah, WrestleMania 20 is my favorite WrestleMania of all time. My number one. 17 is my number two. It's the number one for a lot of people. And again, rightfully so. It is a phenomenal WrestleMania from top to bottom. But for me, it's, yeah, WrestleMania 17 is number two. WrestleMania 20 is number one. And that's going to do it for this return edition of Classic Wrestling Pay-Per-Views. Had a lot of fun over the last 30 plus minutes talking about my favorite WrestleMania of all time. And I'm going to, like I said, I'm going to try to get back into the swing of things, doing these again. And not sure when the next one is going to be. I might do a TNA pay-per-view. Might do something with April coming up. Lockdown, very famous for TNA wrestling in the month of April. So I might be looking at one of the lockdowns. I might look at the first lockdown pay-per-view. Maybe I'll look at the one that I got to see live in 2007. I don't know, we'll see, but I'll keep you all updated. Follow me on Threads if you'd like to stay up to date on some of that stuff. You know, you can do so. It's at MannitesPod on Threads, at MannitesPod on Instagram, at MannitesPod on Vero, at MannitesPod on Snapchat, and on TikTok. You know, unless TikTok is going to get banned in the US, I don't know, we'll see how that works out. But yeah, all my social media, it's at MannitesPod. You can check all that out. And you can also check out my past Classic Wrestling pay-per-views on here for the Minitized Podcast. Yeah, I have Survivor Series 2007, Survivor Series 1997, Survivor Series 2002, Halloween Havoc 98, Bad Blood 1997, SummerSlam Highway to Hell, WrestleMania 1, ECW's One Night Stand 2005, ECW Barely Legal from 1997, Royal Rumble 2000, Starrcade 97, Super Brawl 2001, I believe it was Super Brawl, is the one. It was the one that was headlined with Kevin Nash and Scott Steiner for the WCW title. Beware of Dog from 1996. And Yeah, just all kinds of fun mind games in your house from 1996, sorry. It's late. I'm recording this. It's almost 2:30 in the morning right now. But yeah, I'm going to try to wrap this up so I can get my sleep and enjoy my other day off that I have right now. But yeah, check all of that out. Check out my past episode of the Manatize Podcast, my conversations with Soda, with Koj, coming up this weekend, my conversation with Joe Harris, my other conversations that I've had with Allison Crow and Sean O'Connell, Venom Vlog, and mental health stuff that I've done with Madame Chantel, and just check out all the stuff in the Manatize Podcast archives. Check out my Manatize Podcast store, check out my eBay store, my Poshmark store. All the links will be in the show notes, the description, whichever you prefer to call it, for you guys. You know, help add some of the little money to my bank account so I can go to WrestleMania 41. Yeah. Thank you all so much for watching, for listening, for subscribing. And again, if you're not subscribed, please do so. Sorry, I'm stumbling over my words, and I'm honestly, I'm not going to edit any of this out, because why would I? Yeah, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, so on, and just click the Linktree link out there, and you'll see all the links of where you can find the Manatize Podcast. And yeah, this has been Classic Wrestling Pay-Per-Views for the Manatize Podcast. I thank you all again for watching, listening, subscribing. I hope you all are doing well, staying safe, taking care of yourselves and your loved ones, being the beautiful people that I know you all are and that you can be. And I truly and genuinely love and appreciate every single one of you who have been along with me for the ride for this however many years at this point. But yep, I am Julian. This has been Classic Wrestling Pay-Per-Views for the Manatize Podcast. And I will see all of you on the next one. Bye-bye.